John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Thank you. That's how we did it in the church that I went to when I was a kid. It was like a spelling bee. You started out with the verse, the chapter and number of the verse, and then you said the whole verse, and then you said the chapter and the verse again. So most of us, we did that on Vacation Bible School, and we did it in Sunday school, and most of us knew that verse. That's a pretty popular one. In fact, if you're a born-again Christian, you probably know that verse by heart. And being a born-again Christian goes hand in hand with what we call an altar call. And an altar call, for many, is just as I am. Do you know that song, some of you? Let's sing it together, the first verse. Just as I am without one plea, thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That's a pretty personal statement there, a pretty personal verse. Because when you're born again and you answer the altar call, God is speaking to you as a single person. And you can't claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And for some people, they do that because they want to go to heaven. Because God said you need to proclaim God as your Lord and Savior, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to have everlasting life. And if you don't do that, well, you might be doomed. At least that was the attitude for some people, not everybody. I remember my altar call, and I was a kid, maybe Sophia's age, sort of, and I wore my very favorite dress. It was a green plaid dress, and I had embarrassingly worn out penny loafers. But I remember that day, and I remember walking down the aisle, and I did it not so much because I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't really have an idea, I don't think, of what heaven was, and oh boy, I want to get there, or else. It was really, for me, very much about God's love. I felt, even at that age, I felt the weight of the cross, the weight of Jesus on the cross, and that God would love me so much that God would send his only son, Jesus, to be with me. And I really wanted that love. I wanted Jesus to be by my side. That love, or that moment in my life, was not a conversion per se like Saul had, and then his name was changed to Paul. It was something that happened over time, and I gave it a lot of thought before I actually went up all by myself and did that. And then over time, it transformed me, really. I got through a lot of difficult times in my home, even as a kid, because I knew that Jesus was with me. After that altar call, what you do, generally in the church I went to, is you would be baptized with a few other people in front of everyone. The baptismal font was actually behind a screen, not behind the cross, but it would be like it was right there behind the altar, and it was a big tub, and you actually were completely fully immersed and then raised again, clean, new life, reborn. And so that made me a born-again Christian. So I'll say, I'm a born-again Christian. Amen. Right. So I think a lot of people don't have necessarily a conversion, an immediate conversion, but they kind of move into this understanding of who God is for them. If you're following Lent Madness, how many of you are following Lent Madness? Do you know what Lent Madness is? It is a lot of fun. You go online to lentmadness.org, and you every weekday you see two saints or two people whose story is very worthy of telling because it's interesting, and they were maybe a martyr. And you vote. And you vote for which one you think is the best one that day. And then it goes into this chart, and you see it's like one of those football things or, I don't know, sports things. And at the very end of Lent, we're going to crown someone with the golden halo. Last year it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So earlier in the week, maybe you can't see it, but in this right-hand corner, we had a contest between John Wycliffe and Moses the Black. And Moses the Black won. Moses the Black was an Ethiopian born in about 330. And he, God rest his soul, was a thief. And he worked for a very rich man and stole from this man. And when his boss found out that he was stealing from him, he sent him away. He evicted him. So Moses, wonderful man that he was, gathered a gang of more thieves, and they went out stealing from a lot of people. Not nice people. I mean, Moses and his gang. So as the law was looking for him over time, he found shelter in a monastery. And living at that monastery, he was very inspired by the piety of the monks that lived there. And his life transformed. He turned his whole life around. He was no longer this violent criminal. In fact, he stood for nonviolence. And everything he did in his life after that, he became the abbot of a monastery in the desert. He became a priest. Everything he did was completely different than what he had done before he had actually gone into that monastery. His life was changed, transformed. And I bet that if Moses the Black had an idea of what that born-again Christian thing was, he might say he was a born-again Christian. Because his life turned around when he saw how others were living because of Jesus. Now, Nicodemus, on the other hand, really didn't understand the born-again thing. What he did see was signs that were happening when Jesus was around, signs that he knew God was behind. So Nicodemus, in the middle of the night, found Jesus, and he wanted to have a conversation to figure out what that was all about. And so before Nicodemus could even ask a question, Jesus answered him and said, "In order to see the kingdom of God, you need to be born from above." At least that's what the NRSV version says, which is what we use for our lectionary. But born from above, the word above in Greek is anothen. And anothen can mean above, again, or from the beginning. And so if you read the King James version, you're going to hear the only way you can see the kingdom of heaven is to be born again. And I think that's where we get this born again thing. So Nicodemus says, "But Jesus, I am an old man. I can't even climb stairs. How on earth am I going to climb back into my mother's womb? That's just not going to happen." And Jesus says, "No, no, no, Nicodemus. It's not a physical rebirth. It's a birth of the water and the spirit, of a newness of life, fresh eyes that can see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, I'm not sure, really went away from that conversation, understanding when Jesus was saying, you know, the spirit moves in all sorts of different ways. You never know where it's going to blow. You never know what's going to happen, what time. And Jesus was saying, be open to that spirit, because in that spirit you can be born from above. But I don't know that Nicodemus really got it then, but he did get it later in his life. And the reason I know that, the reason I suspect that, and we'll say I know it in my heart, is that Nicodemus was there when Jesus died on the cross. Nicodemus was with Joseph of Arimathea when Jesus was lowered from the cross, and he brought with him 100 pounds of myrrh and oil and the things that you need to embalm a body or to prepare a body for burial. He was there. I'm pretty sure that he understood Jesus when Jesus said, "For God so loved the world." I want to share a little bit of a story with you, and it's about a very little boy named Max. And Max's parents begin with Holly and Bill. Some of you know little Max. I think he's 3. And little Max is having a talk with his mom one day, one of those in-depth conversations that Max can engage in. And he said, he asked mom about church. What is church? And his mom said, "Well, church is a place where we share a meal with people, a very special meal. We have bread, and it's a special bread. And we give thanks to God." Max thought about that, and he looked at his mom, and he said, "Am I church?" You know what his mom said, right? So when I heard that story last week, my heart just leapt. And I thought, here is a little tiny boy who is on the cusp of really understanding the depth of God's love. Maybe he understands more than you and I at times, the depth of God's love. I think that that's kind of a way what I experienced for us all, to be able to be born again, to be moved by the Spirit, to see life, to see the kingdom in a different way. And I believe that that's something that can happen over time, not necessarily a conversion, maybe a conversion, but over time, again and again, maybe even daily, when we see small things, maybe big things, but maybe even small things, things like when you hear a particular song that moves you, or someone says something that you hear from afar, and you're just like, wow, that's great. Or like this week, I was talking to a man who likes to visit our church, and he was particularly delusional. He's not always quite that way, but he was just rambling, and he really didn't have an idea of where he was or what time of day it was. He just kept talking and talking. But interspersed in all that talking, he said, "But God is love. God loves everyone." And that's what kept popping out at me. It just seemed like a disconnect, but God is love. That might have been, for me, a little bit of a born-again-from-above moment when the Spirit moved me. Another time this week where I felt the Spirit move me deeply was when someone called me dear sister in Christ. You know, it doesn't get better than that. And when we hear someone say that, we know the Spirit is working. Sometimes it's just seeing Jesus in the face of others. It can be that easy, but we have to be open to the Spirit working in the world and in us. So I wonder if we might be able to reclaim or redefine what being born again or born again from above means, because you and I probably know that if you walked up to someone or if they asked you, "Are you a born-again Christian?" you probably aren't going to say, "Yes, I'm a born-again Christian." We just, yay, thank you. Some of us will, but not a lot of Episcopalians, I'm going to guess. But yes, Marianne, some of us definitely will. I would if someone asked me. But I would say, yes, I am a born-again Christian, but let me tell you about what that means for me. Because it means different things for different people, I think. So what if we reclaim that? And instead of being in a club of people who are assured of going to heaven, we can think of it as a way of being in the world, a way of being born again from above over and over, a way of being open to the Spirit to move in us, to give us fresh eyes to see the kingdom. If we can claim this Lent that we are born again, that you can say without a doubt, "I am a born again Christian." Because I know that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but will have everlasting life." We can know clearly what that means. we can know clearly that God so loved the world, the whole world, not just a few people, not just a select group of people, but everyone, the whole world, because God sent his Son to live with us and to die as one of us. Thanks be to God.